So here we are. Go immediately to John chapter 14. And we're going back to a message we started and got off, but we're back. Faith over fear. And I want to finish that. I don't definitely want to drop that. We made some moves, but we're back. John 14, verse 1. I'm reading from the Amplified. Do not let your heart be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and hear and trust and rely on God. Believe in and hear and trust and rely on me also. So much meat in that first sentence. King James says, let not your heart be troubled. This says, do not, capital letters, let your heart be troubled, distressed, agitated. You believe in and adhere to and trust and rely on God. Believe and trust and adhere and rely on me also. I'm going to have a whole conversation about don't let. That one is a challenge of challenges. Don't let your heart be troubled, as if I have some kind of control over that. Well, obviously, the writer of the word believes that I do. I like to sit down with him personally and get some tips on how he pulls that one off. But I've come to a reality. As I've been looking at it and studying it, he's making a statement of do not allow it to remain agitated or troubled. The thoughts that come or situations that happen that confront us and make our hearts go in these kind of flips and these kind of places, they happen as life. He's saying don't allow it to continue to be your state. Don't stay there. Believe in. But before I go into that statement, there was something said before this, and I always like to look at what Jesus was totally conveying when he makes statements. I don't like to just pull stuff out and throw it. So let's go back to chapter 13 and let's see where we are right now. Now, I'm going to start at verse 31, but I just want to update you on what's going on right now. I want to bring you up to date. This is him sitting down having his last meal with his disciples. They're all sitting around the table, and everybody, I guess, is doing their who loves you more conversation. And Jesus makes a comment, one of you are going to betray me. You're all with me. I picked you all, but one of you that I picked, myself, handpicked, is going to betray me. And they all start to look around. Who is it, me, Lord? Who is it, me, Lord? Pretty interesting, because they are concerned that the possibility to betray him is in him. You know, except for one who jumps up and says, I would never betray you. I don't care if it costs me my life. I won't betray you. He's like, oh, yeah. Before the rooster crows, bro, you're going to betray me a couple of times. You're going to turn on me a few times. Yeah, you will. And that kind of arrogance, or let he who think he stand, take heed lest he fall, is a good thought or a good message here, but that's not what we're going to talk about. What I want to talk about is after this, Jesus begins to set up this let not your heart be troubled conversation. It is not just him saying, oh, don't be troubled about anything. Just don't let life bother you about anything. No, he's making a very specific point to in a very specific conversation. So at verse 31, it says, when he had left, talking about Judas now to go betray them, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. Now he has achieved his glory, his honor, his exclamation, and God has been glorified in him, through and in him. I'm kind of stumbling over this because my mind is already where I want to go and the point I want to make. Judas just walks out the door to go betray Jesus. Jesus knew. He said, you know, the one who dips his hand at feast, and he said to him, with that what you do, go do it quickly. Now, I just take a side journey for a minute. I'm a little thrown off by that. Because Jesus says, somebody here is going to betray me. Woe unto him. It would be better for him if he was never born. And then Judas sticks his hand in the bread and he says, go do what you do. Did he not hear everything he just said about woe unto him? And it'd be worse if he was better if he was never born. And did he like just, was he so caught in getting his pieces of silver that he didn't even hear the Lord proclaiming his judgment? Do we sometimes get so caught in doing what we want and pushing our will that even though God is warning us, we still say, I think I got this, God. I think I got this. He said, one of you going to betray me, and woe unto him who does this. And then he says, go do what you're going to do. And he jumps up and he goes to do it. Amazing. But what's more amazing is right after he gets up to leave to go betray Jesus, Jesus makes this proclamation. He makes this statement. He announces a powerful position of things in heaven as if though they already exist on earth. He says, now the Son of Man is glorified. This didn't happen yet. Wait a minute. Judas just went out to create some serious trouble for him. And his response to that is, now the Son of Man is glorified. He's able to speak what he knows he's called to do and what the outcome is going to be. This is before the crucifixion. This is before anything. There's nothing has happened yet. He isn't even going to the garden yet and the disciples falling asleep on him. None of this. He's still sitting at the table and already he's announcing that from this point right here, the Son of Man is glorified. The point I want to bring before we get to the let not your heart be troubled is this. He can say let not your heart be troubled because he already made a decision and a declaration right here before there was an opportunity for anybody's heart to be troubled. He already laid it out for the disciples because he knew what was about to happen and what was about to happen to them emotionally and everything. He knew he was about to be taken. He knew that they were all about to be thrown into disarray. He knew they were going to have to be hiding in the houses and all this kind of stuff. And he's telling them in advance of all things to come, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be distressed. Don't be dismayed. Because God, if we get in tune with him, knows what's coming our way way before it comes. And if we listen, he'll tell us and we'll hear it and we'll hear him say, yeah, this may go wrong. Yeah, the company you work for is about to shut down. Yeah, this situation may happen in your family. But I'm saying to you in advance, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. Don't be agitated. Just believe in me and believe in my Father. Am I speaking to somebody? God wants us to stop walking into situations, being blindsided by them and going, oh my God, I can't believe this happened. God, what do I do? Help me, I'm so afraid. He's saying, I want to let you know in advance what's going on. And then I want you to be in the place that your heart is already founded in trusting God and trust in me, and that when the things happen that look like the opposite of what you're believing for, You have already decided not to allow your heart to be troubled or afraid or anxious or confused or worried. This is a decision, and it comes from knowing. It doesn't come from being thrown into something and then with all your heart scrambling to get your feet up under you because you don't know it can. You know, and you're standing based on the word. So before I go further, let me lay this down. Can we stop and take a minute and remember what God has spoken over us individually? I know what he's spoken in the word. I know he promises to keep us, and I know he promises all that. He's the deliverer, and he's the healer, and he's all those things. And we say amen to that. Amen to that. But there are things that God spoke directly to you, that situations have come that has challenged that. And if you didn't lock into the direction of God before this thing, you are now scrambling to get your feet under you. There are things that have happened to me and happened to me that God has told me in advance, oh no, this is going to happen. And I say, well, God, I don't receive it. I stand against it. I rebuke it. He said, that's nice. Good for you. It's going down. In this situation, I need you to be in stand mode, not in trying to, you know, rebuke or avoidance mode. Can somebody bear witness of what I'm saying today? There are times when God's like, no, we're walking through this. And you're going to come out victorious. You can't have this Christian life of I'm going to avoid everything and just stay fat and passive. Like, no, you're going to have to get on this treadmill with me. We're going to do this run. You said you want to be strong. I'm about to put some weight on you. I ain't talking about disease and cancer, sickness, and that. I'm talking about just you're going to have to deal. You're going to have to stand against something to win. You're going to have to prevail. You're going to have to push back when this demon pushed. You're going to have to get back and bust him in his mouth and step on over him. You can't keep saying, I don't receive it. I receive it. In Jesus' name, no, nothing should come to me. I'm just keep this, my $15.95 an hour job. And for the rest of my life, I can't wait. I'm getting my retirement. God, no, you're going to push. You keep claiming great things and big victories. And I'm going to have this. And I'm believing God's going to do it. I believe God wants to be blessed. And he's like, okay, well, you have to take the land. And this land taking, the person you have to dispossess is not going to leave without a fight. Before you can take a strong man's house, you must first bind a strong man. I don't get the picture of the strong man turning around and putting his arms behind his back and letting you take his house. He's going to fight. And you got to be a better trained fighter. And his words before all the mess hits the fan is, guys, about to be betrayed. It's about to go down. And I need something from you right now that's not what you're used to. You're used to sitting around the table and breaking bread and watching me feed the multitudes and all the healings and people coming out the mountain all over the place, just following you across the sea and everything. You're used to that. That's been fun. Now your belief and your faith is about to be challenged, even down to the very person that's the core of your belief. And you have to stand. So I need you to understand that he just went out to go do something about to change the whole world. I need you to not let your heart be troubled or afraid. Believe in me, believe in God. Believe in me, believe in God. Believe in me, believe in God. And then he keeps going. He says, and God is glorified through and in him. God will also glorify him in himself, and he will glorify him at once and not delay. So he's letting them know, I know what's going down, and I'm ready for it. Dear little children, I am to be with you a little longer. You will look for me. And as I told the Jews, so I tell you, you are not able to come where I am going. Now, he's announcing he's leaving. I want you to understand, he's announcing he's going to be betrayed. He's announcing that he's leaving, and where I'm going, you can't go. All of this is him preparing you before the let not your heart be troubled state. I give you a new commandment that you should love one another. All of this proceeds, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to sit with that for a minute. I'm going to let you sit with what I just said, see if you heard that. All of this stuff proceeds, let not your heart be troubled. Things are going to go down. I'm going to be betrayed. I'm about to be glorified. Even though I've been telling you this the whole time I'm with you, you haven't been listening because you've been enjoying the party and the drinks and making more wine. And Jesus does all of this stuff and fish and loaves and okay, but I'm telling you now, it's about to go down. Don't let your heart be troubled. Then he goes on to say, I give you a new commandment that you should love one another just as I have loved you. So you too should love one another. So here we go. Now it gets deep. Because when I start looking at stuff like this, I'm like, okay, well, maybe this is why in situations we can't let our heart not be troubled, because we don't even walk in love like he's telling us to do. And this is part and parcel of that victory. Let not your heart be troubled. I'm giving you a commandment. Stay in the spirit of love. Walk in love. I'm telling you what to do. And I'm telling you how to do it. And boy, now it makes sense when I go back to my first statement. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. God, how are you doing that? That's not, is that even humanly possible? So this is what made me go back, because I said, okay, you're giving me an instruction to do something that I have not found in my natural ability to do, to not let my heart be troubled or afraid. How many of you other than me can attest to that, that's not the easy task on the planet, just saying, let not your heart be troubled. Like, oh, okay, well, the Bible says it, so therefore, no trouble for me. Now I understand this foundation. And foundation is, you're speaking to him enough for him to give you instruction of what's about to go down, the way he's sending you and what he's calling you to do the next time. And there's not always problems and stresses in terms of somebody's about to betray you, or you're about to be betrayed, or life's about to be taken, or anything like that. But a lot of times it's just challenge to your own insecurities, your own weaknesses, the places that you've already chosen to stand that he's trying to get you to step up out of. The next level he's calling you into may frighten the crap out of you. You understand what I'm saying? And in that, in stepping out of that place, you have to have a word from him so that when you are challenged into this new level, your heart is not troubled. People get comfortable in their walk, comfortable. They like what they like, and God becomes their genie. I call on God when I want God to do something for me. I know how to pray. I know how to get serious. I know how to fast whenever I need something from the Lord. But my daily walk is not about listening to his instruction, hearing what he's saying in advance, and being ready to follow that. And my point is, that's why I made a point about Judas. He's sitting right there at the table saying, woe unto him who does that. And then he looks up and says, okay, go do what you're going to do. And he's like, okay. Mind blown. Because he was there for what he was there for. He wasn't there for what the Lord was giving. A lot of us serve God for what we serve God for, but we're not serving God for what God is giving, or what God wants to get across to us, what God wants to explain to us or teach to us. We've already laid our plan out. God, you just stop messing with my plan. You know what it is. I'm doing the stuff I'm supposed to do according to the word. Now do what I want you to do. God is not your concierge. He's not your service dummy. He's God. You're the service dummy. I don't know how many amen I got to that, but it's still real. You do the bidding. You, me, we serve him. So it says this new commandment I'm giving you now, and you have to love one another. Just as I have loved you, so should you love one another. By this, all men should know that you are my disciples if you love one another. If you keep showing love amongst yourselves, well, okay, I want to be in a place that I'm not troubled or afraid. One, I want to be aware of what he's doing in my life and in line with what he's doing in my life. And then I'm realizing I need to love others above myself. I need to love others before myself. I believe in some ways in my life, I've become very good at that. But that's as long as you don't tick me off. Now, I might not be so good at loving you above myself, but I always go back to God, and God will say, no. Stay with him anyway. God, I know, son, I understand, but I need you to stay there. And I need you to love anyway. And there's times God says, nope, you're done. We're moving to the next level now. So, love one another, because people see that you're as disciples by the way you love each other. So I want to elaborate on that a little bit. Again, we're talking about let not your heart be troubled. These are the prerequisites. I'm going to walk in love. I'm just going to show love no matter what. I don't care what people do. I'm just going to walk in love. I've come to the realization that that is not at all what God is talking about. I'm not going to cuss you out, even though I want to. That's not what he's talking about. I'm going to be nice to you, even though you're being an a-hole. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about being nice to people. He's talking about having a spirit of love in your heart, that love in your heart. Okay, I'll say it like that. That's a better way to say it. You can be nice to somebody and hate their guts. You can be nice to somebody and totally despise them. You can act pleasant to somebody and be very Christian-y, but your heart towards them wishes they were dead. Or if not dead, at least removed so far from you that you never have to see them and love them again. So that's not love. So I'm going to walk in love is not I'm going to behave nice to you even though I don't want to. That's not walking in love. Walking in love is a heart change in God, from God, that flows out of you through people. And it may not be in action at all. It may be first in your sitting quiet time alone love, not that in people face love. That stuff you do for man to see, that Jesus said, that you have no reward in heaven. You got your reward. Oh, she's so nice. He's so nice. He show love no matter what. That right there is for man. That ain't for God. God don't evaluate that. And that's what God began to show me. He says, son, my desire for you to walk in love is to have a right heart about everything and then let that love you show come out of that heart. Not you behaving like you love somebody, but on the inside, you really truly despise them or can't stand them. That's not walking in love. And God said, I don't honor that, nor do I accept correct behavior with the wrong heart. I do not accept that as you fulfilling my promise. So therefore, when you say here, be not, let your heart not be troubled, your heart is troubled, not because of fear, but because you don't even have love in your heart. You don't have the love of God in your heart. You haven't allowed me to change your heart in a way that you can display love even without doing the things that you do to look like you're walking in. It gets real out here. I'm not hearing amens and stuff, but you should be saying them at this point. Here's my point. I'm good without your amens. Here's my point. My point is you and I have to love like God loves on the inside. Inside. My love for you, I shouldn't have to say it. I shouldn't have to behave it. It's got to be something that's between me and God. That's it. My love for you should be between me and God first. And then if you, it seeps out to you, God bless you. But that's not about loving one another. True love for one another is agape, and it comes from the throne, and it can only happen from within if God changes the heart of a man. You can't let your heart not be troubled or afraid if you can't even let your heart love. That's not your job. That's God's job, but it must be surrendered to be. So let's stop the BS of behaving well toward people and saying I'm walking in love when your heart is not there. You love me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. You say, oh, Pastor, I respect you so much, but you have no regard. Oh, I honor you, but then your actions show a whole different thing because you're behaving well, but you're not being changed. Love one another as I have loved you. Jesus' love was not displayed in the things he did for them. Jesus' love was displayed by what he was just about to do for them right now. What was about to go down that they weren't even aware of yet. That's why this stage is so important. Judas was about to go and disrupt the whole flow of ministry. Everything that they were used to and everything they were happy with and everything that they believed in was about to be upended. And so he's telling them, love each other like I love you. Well, how's he about to love them? Greater love has no man that he would lay down his life for his friends. This is a behavior that has to come from an agape heart and spirit change. You cannot behave your way into this. Who am I speaking to right now? This is power. This is the level where I say faith over fear. Perfect love cast out all fear. So you can't walk in this kind of peace of mind without perfect love. Perfect love has to cast out that fear. So this is not a behavior thing. Don't be afraid. Don't let your, I'm going to let my heart be afraid. I'm not going to let my heart be afraid. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about there's a way that you conduct and carry yourself with me that automatically removes fear. That's perfect love. And so he's saying, I want you to learn how to love through the Spirit like I do. Jesus' love is not hugs and kisses and smoochies, saying a nice thing even though you cussed at me, not throwing up the finger when you cut me off on the road. That's not walking in love. That's behaving well, and you should behave. But we're talking about an agape love where I don't even have a desire to throw the middle finger up at you because my spirit is changed. I hope I'm talking to somebody today. So, watch this. By this, men shall know that you are my disciples if you love one another and if you keep showing love amongst yourselves. You're listening to me? Heart of man, thought of man. This guy's going to go betray me. Who is he going to be? He's going to stick his hand in the bread? Yep, he did it with me, bring the ball with me. Okay, go do your thing. He went and did it. No acknowledgement of what's being said, correct? That his own doom has been spoken over him. It'd be better for this man if he was never born and he still gets up and leaves. That's crazy, right? It's crazy revelation, right? Verse 16, Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Did you not hear the whole love conversation, bro? You just went right back to the point that was important to you. But where are you going? And how come we can't come? He just gave you an instruction. I'm leaving. And I want you guys to learn to walk in agape love toward one another. Don't worry about where I'm going and how I'm going to get there. Just do what I said and you'll wind up there. Let me see if I can map that out. It's a little bit cleaner. God showed me something when I moved to Florida. I've talked about it in messages, but yeah, what did you have to do with this? Nothing. Did you even know what was going on? No. Did you set up anything or put anything in place to make it happen? No. Didn't you say this is the new flow of your life now? I don't want to make any plans. I just want to let God to make them. Yeah. Okay. This is an example of that. I want you guys to listen to me. First thing he was said over God, over Jesus when he was baptized, this is my beloved son. Follow him. Same thing when he was James and John, they want to make three tabernacles. This is my beloved son. Hear ye him. Like, just do what he says. Well, I don't see how that makes sense. Nobody asked you. Just do it. Unless you think your plan is better, then keep doing your plan. And when it don't work and you come back to God and say, God, why? It's going to come back to you. Just do what he says. You don't need to understand it. This is how you can walk in the place where your heart is not troubled, not fear. Why? Because you can say, well, God, I did what you said. Have you ever been in a situation in your stand where you stepped out to do something you believe God called you to do, and you knew in all your heart that you did what God told you to do, and then the wind came, and the rain came, and the storms came, and you were able to just anchor yourself in, well, God, I know I'm doing what you told me to do. I may not understand what's going on around me, but I can find peace right now in that place that I know that I'm doing what you told me to do. Can somebody stick the thumb up thing on there or whatever and let me know you understand what I'm talking about? You relate to what I'm saying? So if that's the case, why don't we stay in that place where I know I'm doing what you told me to do? I'm not wrestling back and forth with what you said versus what I said, versus what I interpreted to mean. And I asked 10 other people that agree with what I said. And now I'm going to try to do it my way. And now it's not working. And now I'm freaking out. My heart is troubled. I'm afraid. I'm going back to God saying, God, why? He's like, just do what I said. Forget about all your plans. Get all your agendas off the table. And just bring that thing back to me so I can purify it and clean it and put it back in the place that I originally gave it to you. Because you done fumbled it up quite a bit. You don't let too many people speak over it. Now you got so much muck and mire in the crap. Now that ain't even what I originally said to you. It's what I said mixed in with a whole bunch of counterfeit mess and artificial ingredients and fillers. I'm just talking about me. You know, y'all can take it if y'all can use it, all right? I'm just talking about me. Love. And he says, well, where are you going? Jesus answered, you are not able to follow me where I'm going, but you will follow me afterwards. Now that, that was the one. Where you are right now, you ain't going to receive what I'm saying. But you're going to follow me later. After you get your will knocked out of you enough, after you get your will, get you smacked up against the wall enough times, you're going to get this right and you're going to follow me. And you're going to be able to go where I'm going. And people say, see, he was saying to Peter, let Peter know, yeah, he's going to die. He's going to die too. Yeah, but he's also letting them know, but even before you die, there's some stuff in you that's going to have to be changed to become like me, which in the end, Peter did. Crucified and saying, forgive them. But they don't know what they did. Following in that place. Stephen figured that out early on. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Laid his not to their charge. And the scripture said he looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. And that scripture is so significant to me, maybe not to other people, but it hits me strong. Because that's the only place in the Bible where I've seen Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Every time I see him sitting. But when Stephen made that statement, hold this not to their charge, he looked up and he saw Jesus standing, ready to welcome him. He was like, whoo, Jesus jumped up, whoa, you heard that? Yeah, right there. This is where we are. So Peter, of course, says, Lord, why can I not follow you? I will lay down my life for you. Now, hold up. He's telling them to love one another. He's telling them I've been glorified. He's telling them that the Father's glorified in me. And Peter's only concern is how he can still be a part of the ministry and hang out with him and go where he goes and keep having fish and wine and bread and, you know, earthly things. Didn't Jesus say that to him later? When he came back, he said, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Feed my lamb. Peter, you know, and Peter, what do you mean? You know, I love you, Lord. I don't understand why you're asking me this. He said, when you were young, you did whatever you want to do and you went about things in your own way. But there's going to come a time that you're going to be old and somebody's going to lead you around by the hand. You don't care about my stuff. When he rebuked them, when he said, get you behind me. You don't care about the things of God. You care about the things of man. Are you listening to me? This is repeated. He's saying this to Peter several times. You are walking with me. You my dude. But you care about yourself too much. You care about your winning too much. You care about things going your way too much. You manipulate too much. You twist and turn things to go your way. You lie and you swivel and you snake and you cheat to get what you want, all in the name of Jesus. You do everything you can do to make things go your way in my name, and you roll with me, and you're my disciple, and you're definitely my boy, and I'm not saying you're not, but I'm telling you right now, your motivation is earthly. I need you to check yourself. So he's now here telling Jesus. Jesus said, you can't go. But yes, I can. No way I'm going. I can. Even if I have to lay down my life, I could go with you anyway. I could roll with you, Jesus. So set that the master himself is telling him, you're not ready. And he's telling him, oh, yes, I am. I know. I don't care. Nobody say, I know. I gave my life to God. I repented. I gave my life to Jesus. I don't care. Nobody said. He gonna argue the Lord down. That ain't none of y'all, though, right? You don't do stuff like that. No, none of y'all do it. You don't argue your will on top of the Lord. You don't do that. I've done it maybe once or twice in my life. But you understand what I'm saying? It's what we do. And he's like saying, you little hard-headed son of a gun, I'm telling you, you can't go with me. So Jesus answered, said, oh, you will lay down your life for me. Not willingly, I can tell you that. But I most solemnly surely tell you, before the rooster crows, you will deny me completely and disown me three times. So he's saying something to this cocky attitude of he who thinks he stands. So as we go now into the next verse, next chapter, let's go. Verse one. He gets off of Peter now. He had to check him again. He had to check him again and get back to, do not let your hearts be troubled, distressed, or agitated. You believe and adhere and trust and rely on God. Believe and trust and adhere to and rely on me also. He is saying, trust in, believe in, and rely on me. Not Peter's opinion that he thought, or your opinion you thought. I don't care. I could do it. I'm a good Christian. I could do whatever he says. He said, don't trust in that. Trust in me. Listen to me. Bringing it home. Listen to me. I didn't understand when I read, let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid. And I said, how do I get myself to the place that my heart is not troubled and I'm not afraid? And he said, I need you to go back. Look at the conversation. I'm making this statement as a signal of that kind of faith. I know what's about to happen to me. I'm telling them that, but instead of saying, oh, I'm about to be betrayed now, I'm about to be killed, y'all, you better get ready, it's gonna go down. He said, now I'm glorified. Why? Because the promise is being fulfilled. In your life, there are things that are going on that don't line up with what God said. But if you're to his word and you surrendered yourself to love, and you surrendered yourself to obey it, and you surrendered yourself to listen, then the plan is in motion. Then you need to believe in God and in him. And that's what he was saying to them. I need you to trust God's ability. I need you to trust me as your Lord and shepherd, that I know what I'm talking about. You're not supposed to be standing toe to toe with Jesus. Yes, I can go with you. No, I can't. I even die for you. That shouldn't even be your conversation. Your conversation should be, what say you, Lord? How do you want me to do it? Well, that don't really make sense to me. And sometimes you got to be comfortable to say, I don't even know if I really want to do that, God. My heart is not willing. If you give me a willing heart, I'll do it. But I'm telling you right now, I don't want to have nothing to do with this. And you have to be able to do that. And you have to be able to say, and when you tell me what to do, I'm going to be honest and not lie and admit that I don't want to do it. That I don't want to walk in love, that I don't want to humble myself, that I don't want to submit myself, that I don't want to put somebody before me. I know that I'm dirty on my insides, but I'm willing to be made clean. Make me clean. I believe, help my unbelief. I'm willing thou, if thou art willing, thou can make me clean. I believe that I can become these things. Let's stop focusing on what God can do for us in the natural and ignoring what he needs to do for us in the spirit. It's important at this season and time. It's the year of unlimited opportunity, but you're not going in there with all the baggage. You're not walking into these opportunities. Oh my God, limited opportunity. Yeah, but a lot of them will be missed by a lot of people because they're not ready. They haven't heard. They haven't prepared. They don't have enough oil in their lamp. They're not ready. And so when the bridegroom delays, you're going to have to go back and get something and get left outside. All these messages I've been teaching you for a reason. They all go together. Listen, it's time for preparation. If you believe in for unlimited opportunity, then you need to be prepared for them. And the preparation starts in your heart, starts in your spirit, starts in you as a person, it starts in God checking you as a person, it starts in God telling you, lay that down, pick that up. Now put that back. I mean, you just told me to pick up. Now I told you to put it down. No debate, no discussion, just put it down. Go forward. I'm going, okay, stop. But I only made one step, stop. Just make a difference. And when God gets you to the place, which I'm seeking with all my heart, you listen to me, saints, where I can move instantly like that, I know the doors are going to continue to open for me in great ways. I want, and you heard me say, I want his yes to be my yes, my is no to be my no, it's stop to be my stop. Yeah, well, when you ask for that, God starts testing those abilities. He starts drilling you. Okay, go, stop. Say something, now repent. What you told me to say, but now repent. But you told me to say it to him. Okay, now I'm telling you to repent. Or see, baby believers ain't ready. And they're not ready for that. They don't want that. I thought I was winning. You told me to tell them off. I told them off. I was winning. Yeah, now I'm telling you to go apologize. But I was right. Yeah, but now you're wrong because I told you to apologize and you're not doing it. You see what I'm saying? Is the focus off the earthly? Is into the realm of the spirit of what God's doing and you lining up with what God is doing. In this season, get the instruction. Seek God for what kind of love he wants you to walk in. Not this human fleshly, quote unquote, Christian garbage walk in love. Just let it go. It's garbage. There's no reward that comes with it. And then be willing to be run through the drills. Because if you want to be on the team, you're going to practice. And you're going to get better at holding your tongue. You're going to have to get better at repenting. You're going to get better at saying no when you want to say yes, and yes when you want to say no. And sometimes a no is a hard thing to do when you want people to like you. Still requires that obedience. And in this season, I want victory for all of us, but there's going to be some house cleaning. And I'm speaking that prophetically over each and every one of you today. There will be some house cleaning. God, and nobody's going to see this cleaning but you and God. But he's going to show the house to the house in this season. I'm prophesying it over you. He's going to show you the things that he's been telling you about for years that you just kept going, yeah, I know. You're right, God. I know, God, you're absolutely right. I know, and we're going to do that, Lord. We're going to do it. We're going to get to it, Jesus. Yes, I mean, not right now. There's bigger things, but yes, Lord. Okay, what else are we talking about? That's what Peter did. Okay, where are you going? That wasn't the conversation. The conversation wasn't about where he's going. The conversation was about what he was requiring. Don't worry about where he's going. You can't go yet. Saints, are you listening to me? Don't worry about what he's doing in your life. You ain't ready. When you're ready, he'll reveal it. Oh, church folk don't like this kind of conversation. When you're ready, he'll reveal it. He knows you have committed. And he knows when you fully commit. And when you are, not in every area, but just that area he's calling you in right now, open the doors right up with no struggle. I release you this day to the flow and abundance of God. I release you today to the faith of God, the wisdom, the insight, the understanding, the knowledge. I release you today to an obedient heart and an obedient spirit. I release you to a repentant heart. I release you to a correctable heart. I release you to an unselfish heart where you do what he says, whether it fits your agenda or not. You walk in that love. As we do, Lord, and as we surrender ourselves to you to walk in love and walk in the spirit of total obedience to you, we thank you that you'll open up the doors, the windows of heaven, you're pouring us out blessings that we don't have room to receive. And we can walk without our hearts being troubled or being afraid as we obey you and your word. By your spirit, we claim it and we accept it to be ours. In Jesus' name, amen.